there are a couple of scholars who came with the new ideas, who came with the better principles. And when they came up with those principles and better ideas, how to extract something out of the statement that we have, or what are the principles? Mirza Naini is one of those scholars.
It must be indicated that amongst the publications and works of the late Ayatollah Mirza Manat Hussein Gharavi Naini, his book Tanbih al-Ummah wa Tanzih al-Millah is very significant.
Surely we've wronged ourselves, what will we say in front of it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the All-Beneficent, the All-Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRibe English Radio. This is the teacher. I'm Atta, the host of this program. I have two guest speakers for my today's discussion in the program. The teacher, Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhruhani, and Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi. Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhruhani, a faculty member of the University of Qom. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
You're welcome. And Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, an Islamic scholar from the Islamic House of Qom. Assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to your show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about the outstanding book of the late Mirza Naini, titled as Tanbih al-Ummah wa Tanzih al-Millah. I think the full title, which is in Arabic, and it was, of course, the content was written in Farsi or in Persian, is longer than this. Tanbih al-Ummah wa Tanzih al-Millah fi al-Luzum al-Mashrutiyyah al-Dawlah al-Muntakhaba li-taqlil al-Zulm ala Afrad al-Ummah wa Tarqiyyah al-Mujtama. This is the full title of the work, which is long, but it is mainly known in the academic fields of studies as Tanbih al-Ummah wa Tanzih al-Millah. Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhruhani, let's talk a little bit about the title first and then get into the content and the reason why Mirza Naini wrote this book.
Yes.
What does the title mean?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astain. First of all, Tanbih al-Ummah wa Tanzih al-Millah means informing people, informing the public, and purifying the nation. Okay, I mean, very briefly.
Okay.
Of course, the Arabic title is, I mean, longer than this. However, it must be indicated that compared with modern practices of titling books in the West, okay, which consists of, I mean, title and subtitle, in the past, or perhaps even today, in some Shia religious academic councils and houses, it's current to, I mean, to phrase, I mean, the title of the books, I mean,
right,
in two ways.
Yes.
Okay, I mean, in such a way that, I mean, the first phrase is followed by another one, okay? Ela, be, le, or, I mean, for the purpose of, and so
that's
on,
right,
okay? Which can be translated as in terms of a colon, which, I mean, separates title and subtitles in Western titling practices. This is one point. Another point is that at that time, okay, especially, I mean, from the time of the Safavid dynasty up to almost the end of the Qajar period, it was a practice among ulemas to write the titles, to phrase the titles of the books, mainly religious books, in Arabic.
That's right.
Because this is because, not because the Arabic language is regarded as a sacred language, I mean, because of the Holy Quran, and, I mean, it needs a separate discussion in this regard. However, this is because a great number of important books written, at least, I mean, in the Middle Eastern regions up to the, I mean, stretching eastward to the Indian regions, we find that a great number of important books have been written mainly, I mean, with the titles in Arabic. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, and I should like to ask dear brother, Mr. Naghvi, to correct me, I mean,
okay,
my statement, that even today, I guess some of the, I mean, Urdu books may bear, I mean, Arabic titles, especially in the fields of Islamic studies. However, the content and the main text of the books are, the book of the late Mirza Naini,
right,
is in Persian.
That's right.
But the type of Persian,
okay,
used at that time, uh-huh, was a Persian commingled,
that's right,
I mean, with Arabic phrases, mainly,
okay,
I mean, phrases from the fiqh or from, I mean, usul, or, for example, Quranic studies and so on.
What was the main reason for writing this book? I mean, why the nation, I mean, should be as you said, informed.
Yes.
Why the nation should be informed, and why the millah, I mean, again, the nation, or must be purified from what? I mean, from the despotism of the time, from the imperialism, and the constitutional revolution in Iran helped Mirza Naini to write this book. What was the main reason, brother?
The reason is that, from a Quranic perspective, Ummah means religious community, mm-hmm. religious community of Muslims. Okay. And it must be said that it's in fact a borderless religious community. I mean, religious communities as separated and restricted within political borders. That's as right. We recognize today. Okay. However, at that time we find that in the time of the Qajar dynasty, there were some movements, and that movement was initiated by political cultural transactions between Persians and the Western world. Okay, some Iranian students who went to European countries, mainly France, and some of them to England. And after they got back, returned to Iran, okay, one of the first achievements was that, okay, they tried to picture, to portray what they noticed in the West. Okay,
that's right.
And part of the I should like to say that part of the problems that they recognized to be, at least in Persia, as well as in other Muslim lands, was because of being rather backward in terms of knowledge and technology. Because, okay. They compared the technological state and condition of Muslim lands in contrast to European countries.
That's
okay?
Right.
One of the reasons was that they came to the point that so long as, despotism was the ruling political philosophy in Muslim lands, mainly in Persia, there wouldn't be any escape. In order to escape from that, that end, it was suggested to the ulama, okay, that they should do something, because, in contrast to intellectuals and university graduates, okay, who have still very limited followers in Muslim lands, especially nowadays in Iran, okay, great ulama have been enjoying to have many followers, both among the public and common people, as well as among the intellectuals. The reason was that the late Mirza Naini developed his book mainly in two frames. One of them, rejection of despotism, and another one as a solution.
Yes.
He put forward that the elites of the community, the learned people of the community, should get together and should phrase rules in order to guide everything. And one of the important points observable in his book is that, similar to the political divisions, or divisions of powers, for example, the a parliament, in contrast to, for example, other aspects of other, for example, judiciary.
The legislative, the judiciary, and the executive powers.
Powers, yes.
That's right.
He has sketched almost the same thing in his book, but all of them, were phrased, by means of using, for example, terms and idioms, terms and concepts, taken from Islamic studies.
Islamic studies, very good,
and
very good.
In this regard, it must be said that the book of the late Mirza Naini can be regarded as a magnum opus of political philosophy as viewed from a Shi'i perspective.
A Shi'i perspective. Yes. Thank you very much, Dr. Farhwani. Really beautifully put by you. Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, so for a Shi'i scholar to write such a book, and it seems that, on that time, most of the scholars and the ulama were concerned with fiqh, usul al-fiqh, or maybe sometimes the rulings of the economics among the markets or something like that. But all of a sudden, a sheikh, an ayatollah, a faqih, is going to write such a book, which is considered with the different powers in the society, how the parliament must act, what are the characteristics of a ruler, okay? So it must be very much different, isn't it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, that's true. And before I enter into what you ask, a bit clarification about the name of the book, which is Tanbihul Ummah wa Tanzihul Millah. This Tanbih is from Imba, as brother has mentioned, Dr.
Fakhruhani,
that it is to inform. Tanbih is from Imba. Tanbihul Ummah means that informing the Ummah about the rules of Sharia.
Okay.
This book is basically titled at Tanbihul Ummah, so that the Ummah, by reading this book, will know about the basic rulings of the, or the Sharia law, or rules. You know, in the banks we have Sharia, you know, we can say like rules and the Islamic bankings and all those. So for those who are living in the West, it's very clear. Because when we talk about the Islamic banking, there is a Sharia committee, and the rulings are according to the Sharia.
That's right.
So this book is about to inform about the rulings of Sharia. On the other hand, it says, وَتَنْزِيهُ الْمِلَّةِ تَنْزِيه is from مُنَزَّة, from freeing someone from something.
That's right.
تَنْزِيهُ الْأُمَّة means freeing the ummah, the nation, from ilhad, from bringing, you know, partners for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
For doing a shirk, for example, or becoming an atheist. These are the terms, basically, which were hidden in this book. And in this book, we see.
لَتَقْلِيلَ الظُّلْمِ is also among, in the title.
These were added, like, you know, لِتَقْلِيلِ الظُّلْمِ, like to minimize the ظُلْم. Now, here, ظُلْم can be as a sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we say, ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي ظُلْمًا كَثِيرًا فَغْفِرْلِي.
Okay.
Did I do unjust to myself? This unjust is the sin that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
The ummah commits a sin. It's not only about the oppression. It's about the, you know, the sin that we commit.
Okay.
So when it says that to minimize the لتقليل الظلم على أفراد الأمة, this is like, you know, we need to make their minds clear about the rulings.
That's right.
About what kind of system we have,
mm-hmm.
or the political system that we have. And after that, obviously, they will be free from the dhulm and all those things. Why I said this is what it means
That's
is because,
right.
you know, when you look at the chapters that it has come, for example, in chapter number one, he talks about the government in the Islam.
Mm-hmm.
What is a government in the Islam? There he talks about the governorship, and he says the authority is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
And after that, he gave that wilaya, or the authority, to the imam.
That's
or
right.
the prophet, like okay. prophet or the imam.
So this is absolutely a Shia perspective.
It is absolutely
okay.
Shia perspective.
Based on Shia perspective,
yes.
okay.
He says, on the basis of the Quran, on the basis of Islamic teachings, we know that the authority is with the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he gives the authority to the next person. Like, you know, the way we have in the Quran that أَتِيُ اللَّهُ وَعَتِيُ الرَّسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ.
That's right.
Or it is said like, the Allah is your wali, is the close guardian or authority, وَرَسُولِهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ and the mu'mineen who, you know, we have the verse who gives a God when they're in the state
That's
of
right.
the ruku, which okay. is about Imam Ali alayhi salam. So he refers to these, you know, evidences from the Quran, and he says that when we're talking about the Islam and the other religions near the, you know, the uqala, the intellectuals,
yes.
hukama, those who are wise, who
yes.
knows, the intellectuals. When we refer to them, even they also talk about the, you know, they also say that the governorship of a state should be in the hands of someone who is the supreme, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
And it shouldn't be according to the wills of the people. You know, for example, before we had the kings who were ruling. And the kings were ruling the countries or the states according to their own wills.
That's right.
This is not like this.
Okay.
When you become a ruler, you should be, you have no, you know, significance from the others, but you need to serve these people.
That's right.
You need to live according to the state that, or the status that people, general people have. You should not enjoy the ruling over the people. For example, we have Imam Ali alayhi salam, that in the history he had a normal life.
Yes.
The way the normal people had. Whereas there were other people who became the rulers, for example, and they were having their own palaces and all those things. So here he's talking in this chapter,
That's
he talks
right.
about this. That
and also freeing them from istibdad.
Yes.
Means despotism.
Yes.
Istibdad of whom? Was it because of the British and Russian, you know?
It can be anything.
Okay.
These are the examples.
Oh,
you know, he's not talking about the masadiq, which is examples.
Okay.
For example, even if he mentions in the book, for example, the Britishers.
Yes.
So tomorrow, if someone else comes and he says, like, okay. I'm not a Britisher, for example, mm-hmm. I'm a French. So is it about him as well? So ulama, the scholars, when they write generally book, they bring the overall picture of the things.
That's right.
Which applies on every single person who has those characteristics. So in the time of Mirza Naini, if it was the Britishers or Americans, yes, or I don't know, the Germans, yes, later if someone else comes, okay, like, you know, there was the Soviet Union as well.
Okay.
So later on, if someone else comes, if he had or those kind of, you know, characteristics, it also applies on them as well.
So this ummah, can it be also translated as the religion?
No, it's ummah is nation.
Is nation.
Nation the, or the people.
Okay.
You know,
but purifying we have, the nation.
We have, yes, we have different, sorry, I'm just cutting you off. Okay. There are a couple of terminologies which is used in the Quran. Uh-huh. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ummah, mm-hmm, which is, you know, the nation.
Yes.
Once Allah says millah, uh-huh, which is creed.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Sharia.
Millah. Millat Ibrahim.
Oh,
the
okay,
creed,
okay, creed
of Ibrahim.
Okay.
Ummat Ibrahim or Ummat Rasulullah or Ummah, it's the nation, people.
Uh-huh.
It's more general.
That's
you know?
Right.
So we need to look at the basically Quranic terminologies. Because okay, when he's referring to in his book as Ummah, for example, in even in the title of the book,
yes,
we need to see whether in the Quran this Ummah is being used as, for example, you know, the way you said,
the Sharia?
The Sharia.
Yes.
Yeah. We cannot translate it as Sharia. Why? Mm-hmm. Because Sharia and the religion, which is Deen, these,
yes,
are two different terminologies.
Oh, okay.
Sharia is the rulings within the Deen, mm-hmm, which is religion.
That's right.
Whereas religion itself is a waster or a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
The Deen near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam.
That's
from
right.
From Adam alayhi salam till Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Okay.
But for every prophet, there was different Sharia. There
That's
was
right.
different rulings within that. And it differs because of the time, because of the, you know, place or the, you know, the specific conditions in which they were living at that time.
Okay.
So Sharia keeps, like, there was a change in the Sharia from Adam alayhi salam till
right.
the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it was ended and completed on the day of Ghadir.
That's right. Thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen.
You're welcome.
And Dr. Fakhr Rouhani. And dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode. In order to know more about our other episodes of the program, The Teacher, refer to our website and visit our website, parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, a YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.